What is going on, everybody? Casey here, Virginia Game Day, checking in with another episode of the podcast. As always, thank you guys for checking us out. It's been a while, man, and I definitely had to take some time to process everything that went down. I think the last time that I did the podcast was immediately after we got announced as a team in the NCAA tournament, and you guys obviously know what happened from there. It was a really disappointing way to go out. 67-42 loss to Colorado State in a play-in game. But I mean, a lot of y'all know, and watching it, the game was over pretty quickly. As soon as it started getting out of hand, it was just like the story that we've kind of all seen 100 times throughout the year. And it was like, oh, it's one of these games again. We didn't show up with any offensive. We weren't hitting shots. We didn't show up with our best offensive game. And when that happens, you know, with the specific 2023-2024 team, you knew where it was headed. So, I mean, I knew it was over early, and I didn't even watch the last 10 minutes of actual game time. And then from there, it was disappointing, you know, to deal with all the national backlash. As you guys know, being on Twitter, I tried to stay off as long as I could. I did a couple days off, and then all the posts that I had missed when I finally got back on caught up with me. And I'm like, oh man, I can't escape this shit. But, you know, here we are. The Final Four is coming up. I get with a team in it, ironically, in NC State that wouldn't be there had Isaac McNealy not missed that one free throw. And it's just funny how one free throw can change an entire timeline, because Virginia had NC State beat. And they're the only team in this, you know, they've won 9 games in a row here that had them beat. 5 seconds left, up by 3, make a free throw, the game's over. And they don't go to the tournament at all, let alone the Final Four. But good for them representing the ACC, at least. I can't tell you I want them to win the whole thing, but I am happy for them. They've captivated the nation for sure, but it's just funny how UVA's kind of played into it. As far as everything that's gone on since then, there's definitely an article that everyone should read. It's from Cuts from the Corner. I read it today, and it's like a really great rundown of kind of some thoughts on the program, and it's a good read. Some of the stuff that is mentioned in it, I'm sure, will be kind of parallel to what I talk about in our kind of wrap up looking forward episode that we're doing here. But definitely read it. It's super long, but it's well thought out, and the dude definitely knows how to break down film, and hats off to Cuts from the Corner. And we'll talk more about it, some of his ideas as we go on. And shout out also to Who's Got Next. We'll also talk about some of the transfers that we are in the mix for. So those are two sources for some of the information I'm passing along here. Anyway, so as it stands now, it looks like we're not going to have a ton of movement on the roster front going into next year. I think the big question marks were probably Rhodey, Dante Harris, possibly Tane Murray. But the way it looks now, nothing's happened. No one has gone the way of the transfer portal at this point. And from what I've seen from like Dante Harris's Instagram, he's doing Cav Futures posts a couple in the last week. So, I mean, it looks like he's locked in, and hey, players can improve. I want everyone to kind of, it seems like there could be a world where they're united by how bad the season ended. If you remember, obviously 2018, when Virginia lost to a number 16 seed, they were united by that tragedy. They lost a few guys, but the dudes moving forward kind of, it bonded them. So if there can be a situation where the dudes are looking at each other in the locker room saying, hey, that was awful. Our offense wasn't there this year. We let ourselves down. We let, you know, our potential down, and we want to work our asses off this summer, bring a few pieces in, got guys coming off of red shirts, got first years coming in, and we're going to put together a product and go get it next year. Hey, that could be a really good rallying cry. It's a rallying cry that you can get behind, that they could get behind. It's like, if I don't know if anyone watches wrestling, but before WrestleMania, over the last, I don't know how many years it's been, but they have a big WrestleMania, whatever it is, logo in the arenas that they're in. And on the road to WrestleMania, when they're doing something, that's kind of leading up to it, they point to the logo, like, that's where we're headed. And Virginia's in this offseason should be their WrestleMania logo, so to speak, should be getting the offense to a level that it needs to be. They know that the offense struggled this year, so everyone should be rowing in the same direction to get this offense off the ground. The guys, the players themselves, need to make shots at a better clip. They need to be able to create more shots. They need to make the free throws, and they need to get back to, the contender level where Virginia's been. I mean, this team was in the top 25 this year, last year, one of the top 10 KenPom teams. So it's not like it's so far away. It's just like, hey, we let it slip. Our offense was a real problem this year, and we got to get it back on track. We've seen under the right circumstances what the offense can look like. And now with that said, the coaching staff also needs to be rowing in the same direction to get the offense back to where it was, whether it be tweaking some things, adding some different looks in, because the team started out 8-1. I mean, it's had 2 years of starting out super hot. Last year, 8-0, this year, 8-1, and then things kind of have gone downhill from there. So you got to think some of it is the other team figuring shit out. So having other stuff in the bag as a coaching staff to throw out and work on, and not just have like for a couple plays, but to really lean on. So that's something that not just the players need to point at that WrestleMania logo and say, we got to improve the offense. We got to get back to where we need to be. Coaching staff needs to do the same thing. It's possible, because just by everyone sticking together, they're going to lose some of that inexperience they had last year. Because there was a lot of time, especially on the road, getting blown out, not having any way to answer punches. They looked inexperienced and they were young. They're going to lose some of that, and they're going to be more experienced if they all stay together throughout the summer, working out, getting ready, getting prepared next year, going through the whole thing again. They're going to improve just by being together again. So if this season was like the floor, just a year of being together, sticking by one another, is going to improve them. Now we add some wrinkles to the offense. Something that the Cuts from the Corner article said was maybe devoting some more practice time to offense. He had a number like 80% of practice time is spent on defense. Maybe putting some of that towards offense. That could be something. Bringing a proven bucket getter in through the portal. The thing they need to fill right away is the Reese role. I mean, like the bona fide bucket getter. Of course, we want to see Gertrude and Dante Harris improve to a spot point where they could take that job that Reese is, essentially passing on. But if Gertrude and Dante aren't ready, we need to have someone from the portal come in that can be, up to par. And thinking of the big goal being improving the offense, it can happen. Like, we've seen jumps in talent from year to year. A good example is happening right now on the baseball field. Jake Gelof and Kyle Teal both are gone. They got drafted. Tons of home runs. And going into this year, a lot of people were wondering where the power is coming from. Well, dudes who hit three or four home runs last year are already outdone that number in 30 games, or half the games. Griffo Farrell hit one home run last year and he hit one in like his first at bat this year. So there's, it's possible to improve over an offseason and get better. And I know that the dudes who didn't play up to their caliber of their own mind and what people expect for him are gonna work towards that. I feel that, especially for Rhodey, who feels like a ball is life kind of guy. Like, I feel like he did what he did at his previous school. He comes in here and there was frustration. There was confidence issues that I felt like. And that's another thing Cuts from the Corner article talked about, was how some the offense that they run can hinder guys' confidence in their offensive games because they're not getting shots and kind of thinking more about the offense than running it freely and kind of playing loose. And I feel like that happened with Rhodey. He was in the blue and white game. He looked comfortable creating his own shot, doing his thing early on. He saw that. And then it kind of went away. So I think that he's going to be a guy who really works on his game this offseason. And I hope he stays. And I hope he, you know, gets in the lab. And knowing what the offense entails now, knowing what it looks like for a whole season, figuring out what he needs to work on, how he can improve, and how he can be an effective player next year. I feel like that's going to happen. Dante, same thing. I talked all year about him being Big East tournament MVP. You know, like the leading scorer on a Georgetown team. If he sticks around, he's going to get more minutes next year. So I feel like he's going to be in the lab as well and getting back to, there's a big hole open with Reese leaving. And that could be his potentially. So I'm sure he's going to work his ass off to get a biggest chunk of that as possible. And I'm rooting for everyone. And there is a lot of guys that can take big jumps. Like Gertrude, we saw flashes this year. He super athletic defensively and offensively. He's going to try and get some of that, fill some of that Reese role as well. Blake Buchanan, young, but so much upside there. I've heard great things about Anthony Robinson. We got Leon Bond, who's a guy who a lot of people would say kind of could have helped the team out this year if they stuck with him more. He had a lot of hot moments early on, but then coach went away from him midway through the year. I think he's going to make a jump and be a rotation guy next year. But yeah, there's a lot of guys who can kind of take that jump. And with new guys coming up, players taking a jump in talent, transfer coming in, maybe two, depending on what happens. We're not sure if Ryan Dunn's going to be back or not. Could be one transfer, could be two. Assuming no one enters the portal. Once the talent level gets better, some of the, you know, personnel decisions that people get upset about and things like that get a little bit less important, because if you have 10 strong guys and you go to the ninth guy instead of the seventh guy, it's like, okay, either of them are going to handle business. So it doesn't really matter. You know, it makes coach's job a lot easier, and it makes, you know, the team better because of it. But yeah, it's going to be, I feel like this is a pivotal year, pivotal off season for Virginia. Coaching staff needs a sacrifice, make some sacrifices. And I think it's sacrifice like of time and work and all that stuff, but also a sacrifice of like, hey, what we've done for the last however long, we need to tweak it a little bit because our offense is predictable at times. Defenses can figure it out. We're running the same kind of stuff. And we need to add some things in. I mean, the offense can work. We've seen it work with super high level talent, shot makers, shot creators. It's got to be a nice blend of the talent level raising and the coaching staff breaking and bending a little bit on adding new sets, new wrinkles, whatever it is, changing the pace if you can. I mean, I can't tell you how many times this year where you're down 13 and you're like, we have no chance of winning right now because we're still running through 25 seconds of the shot clock. So we're down 13 with 4 minutes left. We got to pick up the pace and get it going, you know? So it needs to be a little bit of a happy medium between talent level increase, strategic change, and, you know, and everyone rowing in the same direction. I think that's super important too. And I feel like that's going to be the one thing that's like, that'll be the first thing to come, that no one can be happy with how the season ended last year. So everyone's going to be rowing in the same direction. I feel like that's going to happen. Speaking of talent, let's just go through what we have right now, like the scholarship chart for who's got next. This is what it looks like right now. The two point guards would be Dante Harris and Christian Bliss. Shooting guards, Isaac McNeely, Andrew Rohde, Elijah Gertrude. Small forwards, Tane Murray and Sharma. Power forwards, Ryan Dunn, Leon Bond, and Coffey. And then the centers would be Blake Buchanan and Anthony Robinson. Now, of course, the Ryan Dunn deal could change because, you know, the NBA draft stuff. So if, I believe there's one scholarship right now, even with Ryan Dunn coming back. If Dunn goes, then there'd be two scholarships. And that's the big question mark for recruiting. Like, who are we going to be in the mix for? I mentioned earlier that kind of having that bucket getter, that Reese role, is going to be a priority. But I know Dante's going to want it. So he feels like, I'm sure he's going to work his ass off and try and be the guy, because if Dante did what he did at Georgetown and was in the portal again, it would be a guy that we'd be going after. But here are the guys who we're looking at per who's got next of locker room access. Jahmyr Bricus of LaSalle, 14 points last year, 5 assists, a couple of rebounds. He would be a grad transfer guy, so maybe 1 year. Isaac McBride from Oral Roberts. I'd said Bennett flirted with him out of high school. Tony Perkins, Iowa senior. So that would be a guy, not a lot of time left. Butler guard, DJ Davis. Penn grad transfer, Clark Sloshert. Says Rod Sanchez has some connections with him. Jalen Leach from Fairfield. So those are a lot of the point guards here that Who's Got Next has mentioned. Some of the guys that they were in on have already gone off the board, which is unfortunate, but there will be, probably could be some more to come. And you know that they're going to, Virginia's done well in the transfer portal. You look at Gardner, you look at Armon Franklin, you can go back to Braxton Key. Jordan Miner was a big get last year. A lot of people were after him. Andrew Rohde. You know, they've gotten some decent splashes in the portal, and I'm sure they're going to do that again. They might have to be a little more choosy this year because of, if they only have one scholarship, you know, they might have to be really choosy. But forwards, the one guy that I kind of have been thinking would be like a very serendipitous situation would be Igor Milicic, who is obviously at Virginia and then transferred to Charlotte, had a really improved season this year. He was lighting it up, and he's back in the portal. I could see that happening. It would be a really fitting story, because obviously he starts at Virginia and goes to Charlotte, who is like basically in the Virginia kind of family, and I could see him coming back. That would be cool. Belmont transfer Cade Tyson, it says Virginia and just about everyone else is in on him. Northern Illinois forward Xavier Amos. Hofstra transfer Darlin Stone Dubar has UVA on a long list. He played AAU with Dante Harris. That could be a good connection there. ASUN freshman of the year Tucker Anderson. Mikhail Brown Jones from UNC Greensboro. St. Mary's transfer Joshua Jefferson. Those are all forwards. So there are a lot of guys that UVA is in on. I'm waiting to see what will shake out. They haven't had any news in or out yet, which is surprising considering how crazy it's been lately. The one new name that I'm definitely looking at in addition to Igor, which is kind of like serendipitous, is Tyler Nickel from Virginia Tech, who also was at UNC. It would kind of be, it would be funny for Virginia to snag him. I know he's been He's been contacted by Virginia, in addition to Providence, Vanderbilt, Stanford, a lot of the big schools. That would be a good get. He's a Virginia guy, you know. He's from like Charlottesville, basically. I think it's, what is it, Rutgersville, or what's the, went to school in Harrisonburg, but I think he was born closer to Charlottesville. But 6'7", 220, shoots it well. Depends if you get that second scholarship open. So definitely, definitely guys. Yeah, so we're definitely going to be checking in with a lot of baseball this year. I just got back from the UVA. Virginia pulled that one out 14-11. It was like a back and forth game. They were up big early, and then UNC went up, and then Virginia came back in the later innings and stole it 14-11. So Virginia's up there again, ranked in the top 10, top 15. Their pitching staff has been a little bit suspect this year, not getting a lot of consistency from a ton of starters or out of the bullpen even. So their offense is loaded, though. Their offense is hitting bombs and hitting over 300 as a team, but their pitching staff is, you know, their ERA is 5+. Some of the guys that we were relying on either got hurt or aren't performing up to their level, but definitely get out to the dish this year. Team is stacked. There's a lot of guys who you'll know. Griff O'Farrell, shortstop. He's, you know, been around for a few years now. He's a stud. Ethan Anderson, catcher, been around for a while, stud. Luke Hansen at third base. You'll recognize him with the long blonde hair, like Sunshine from Remember the Titans. And local kid Henry Ford hit a home run this first inning, bottom of the first, 3-run jack. So tons of dudes to get after and support. And then, you know, lacrosse, same thing. Softball, same thing. The spring sports are loaded this year, and there's a lot to be excited about. And as a basketball fan too, there's a lot to be excited about. This feels like a big off season. It feels like a chance for everyone to kind of come together and shut everyone up, basically. Everyone got to talking a lot after we shouldn't have been there in the first place. And then we lose by 25. I mean, yes, that's fair, but you know, we did win a lot of games, and we have something to build off of. It's just defense needs to be there consistently. Need to be a little bit less stringent in how we do things. You know, maybe a little quicker on the trigger with substitutions, letting new ideas, new players try and rock. But there's a good base to build off of from this year. 23 games. It's like, hey guys, look what we just did, and we actually had a lot go poorly. We got blown out a ton. We got blown out in our biggest playoff game. We couldn't hit free throws down the stretch. Look where we were with all these things going bad. So what can the ceiling be when we're improved in all these different areas? I think this is going to be a big offseason. I think we're going to hopefully bounce back next year and kind of prove everyone wrong to some degree. The bulk of this team is freshmen and sophomores. So listen, don't hang your head. We're heading in the right direction, and the spring sports are definitely popping. So thank you all for listening. At Virginia Game Day on Instagram, Virginia Game Day Podcast, all the major platforms. Thanks for checking us out. Not the season we wanted, how it ended, but there was a lot of fun nights, and we're headed up. So thanks, guys.